Hey guys, this is Laura Vandervoort. I played Kara Kent / Supergirl on Smallville, and you are listening to Always Hold On to Smallville.
Gathered together from the cosmic reaches of the universe, here in this great hall of justice, are the most powerful forces of good ever assembled. Superman, Batman and Robin, Wonder Woman, Aquaman, and the Wonder Twins, Zan and Jaina, with their space monkey, Bleak. Dedicated to truth, justice, and peace for all mankind.
Welcome to Always On to Smallville. In this podcast, we talk about each and every episode of the Young Superman show, the wrap from 2001 to 2011 on the WB and the CW. I'm your host, Zach Moore, and we're back with Crisis Special number 5. And you're like, what? What are you talking about? Is there another episode of Crisis? Not exactly. But two things. One, this is the one-year anniversary of the premiere of the finale of the CW's Crisis on Infinite Earths, when they decided to show 4 and 5 together, which really messed up my whole numbering system, which is like part 1 is episode 1, part 2 is episode 2, part 3 is episode 3. Part 4 is episodes 4 and 5, because they came out the same night. So thank you for that, CW. Also, thank you for this wonderful comic book tie-in, which we are talking about. It's called, and I quote, Crisis on Infinite Earths, Paragons Rising. And so that's what we're going to be talking about in depth on this episode. But first, before I get into that, let me introduce people who need no introduction at this point. My friends from Always on the Arrow, Mr. Lance Laster.
What up?
And Mr. Kev Chillis.
Hey, man, how's it going?
How is it going, Kev? Now, Kev, you did not have the opportunity to talk about Crisis with us because you are a responsible adult and weren't up at 2 in the morning like we were the night of.
That is true.
It's a year has passed, you know, and the shine is off the Crisis. We can see things with a little bit of perspective. Now, obviously, you know what? As a Smallville guy, Crisis gave me what I needed. It gave me a better end to Smallville than Smallville did. And I'm sure a lot of listeners out there disagree. And that's fine. Disagreement is what we're all about here. I know it's all with Smallville. But I think the three of us are going to be in agreement in our conversation tonight. But we'll get there. But anyway, Crisis, for y'all, had a lot better implications for your show than for my show.
Oh, yeah.
And Kev, you know, you didn't really get a chance to talk about it. So let's start with you. A year later from Crisis, man. Like, what are your thoughts on what? I guess what were your thoughts on it then, and what are they now?
Okay, so when I saw it then, I did not like it. I was very underwhelmed by it, considering it's supposed to be this overwhelming thing. I was very much like, I've seen better crossovers that they've done, and a year has gone by, and I have watched it a couple times, even just very recently. And no, I almost borderline would say it sucks. Like I don't like it. And this is why. So I am actually a fan of the Arrowverse, right? I mean, I'm co-hosting a podcast about an Arrowverse show, right? The show that started the Arrowverse. So by the time Crisis came out, though, I wasn't really into the Arrowverse. Right. What got me back to wanting to watch it was all the announcements about people coming back, Welling coming back. We're like, oh, crap, we got to see this, you know, all these things. Sidebar, I do like the Tom Welling stuff. I do. One of my criticisms is about that, but I like the character, what they did with Tom Welling in Clark Kent.
Okay.
It ended up becoming for me, it was like Crisis on Infinite Easter egg and cameos that don't have anything to really do with the plot. If you look at all the cameos, they don't really have anything to do with the story. They're just there to say they had them. Like, if you really look at it for a second. So
I would argue Brandon Routh's Superman was probably the biggest component, but that's probably because Brandon Routh is a Yeah, he, you know, yes. You know, he's the Atom. Yeah, so like, yeah, I got
and,
you.
And
yeah.
They didn't sell it as that. They sold it as, we got these people back to be a part of Crisis on Infinite Earths. You're like, oh, right, I can't wait to see that. And they were just there to say we got them.
Well, people laughed at me. Lauren, I think you laughed at me when I know, when I said that, oh, maybe Helena Kyle or Helena will be a Paragon, you know? Yeah. And I was like, I don't know. When you have, you know, Paragon's Rising, we'll get into it, right? But when you have, like, we have seven heroes from across the multiverse we must assemble to save reality, I'm thinking, oh, well, those are your seven special guest stars, right? You get John Wesley Shipp as the Flash, right? You get Tom Welling Superman, yeah, you get et cetera, et cetera.
That's what they should have done. And like in retrospect, like a year later, that's what should have happened. Instead of having the Paragons be
four of them are like in the room.
People from the universe who already have their own show. It's like, no, that's not how we do this. Like, they're supposed to take inspiration from these other people since we don't ever see them, and that's how it's supposed to be. In addition to all the other junk that went on with Crisis, I think that's probably one of the bigger disappointments. And Kev, you're right. It's like, I have to, on one hand, applaud them for getting people to participate, because that's not an easy thing, right? And being somewhat creative and trying to pull this off. But at the same time, you also have to kind of realize, you know, you got to know your personnel, right? You got to know what's going on. You have to understand that you're a CW show and you don't have an HBO budget, and you gotta make Crisis like fit what you are doing currently instead of trying to do what they did. And when they, and as a result, we got what we got.
And that, and that's where my criticism comes in, is that, you know, the Paragons probably should have been the guest stars, but that's only if the guest stars were going to actually be like pivotal to the story. The story, it was to its detriment. The story lacked because we were so focused on the cameos. Like, yes. I don't even know what the story was, other than Oliver died, all the worlds were crashing, but Tom Welling was there, and I got to see this character, and I got to see that character, but it's like, they don't, nothing makes, like, something that bothered me about the Tom Welling scene. Lex Luthor shows up, and he is looking at Clark Kent, and he's like, you're my enemy across any multiverse, because Clark's like, you're not Lex. And he's like, even in this book told me that Clark Kent is Superman, right? And that's what Clark does.
On this earth.
Yeah.
On this earth.
Does he not think that it could be the same on every other earth? Does he not know that Clark Kent's already Superman on his own earth?
Yeah, because he's like, on my earth, that would be ridiculous. Because I've watched that scene probably about 25 times in the last year. And he's like, on my earth, that would be ridiculous. Clark Kent can't see past his glasses. So they're trying to maintain the status quo on that earth. But like, when you're resetting the universe, you don't need to do that.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, but no, you're absolutely right. It's like, oh, well, every Clark Kent should be every Superman.
And really, other than Tom Welling playing Clark Kent and maybe Tom Ellis playing Lucifer, were you actually like, that was a really cool cameo? I'm glad they got them to come back for that.
I would say Kevin Conroy, because seeing him in live action was great. He's in the Kingdom Come kind of exoskeleton, and he had a lot of scenes, unlike almost everybody else. Yeah. He was actually in the most of the episode. Now, evil Batman who killed everyone.
Which, by the way, everybody in DC loves, right?
No. You know what, Batman fans?
Apparently, I don't.
How does it feel, Batman fans, to have your hero be the evil guy who killed everybody? All right, because as a Superman fan who's sick of evil Superman, now welcome to my life, Yost. Okay,
exactly. Hey, this is- look, I hate it when they do it to Superman, and I didn't like it with that. Like, again, like, it's, you know, not
so
good.
So let me reel this in before I isolate everybody that actually liked me, because they're like, oh, I can't. Yeah, I said it sucked. I know, but like, I need you guys to understand, like, if you guys listen to me on Always on Arrow, you know I'm not a comic book guy. I'm becoming one. So it ain't like I'm looking at the comic series and saying, well, it wasn't that. I'm looking at it as a guy who was watching the Arrowverse, who's been invested in these stories, which this story was supposed to be about the Flash. It ends up not being about the Flash at all. It ends up being about Oliver Queen, but that's only because he decided to leave the show. So they were changing it.
Well, it was also, Kev, it was also about cleaning up continuity problems.
Sure.
By bringing all the universes
but
together,
not really.
Like, but they didn't even do that. Good. Black Lightning and Supergirl are now on
and
the same
earth
as all the other shows
anymore. So I guess they're just going to retire.
And those shows are over. Yeah. Those shows are, and then you erase the whole stakes of Crisis, And this is where it kind of falls apart for me at the end. Like, 4 and 5 is a very disappointing 1-2 punch at the end. Because Crisis is like, oh god, everything's gone. But now we have saved all these people, and everybody left here is now the Justice League on Earth Prime, which they called it, which is wrong. We are Earth Prime, the audience, the viewers, right? But then the voiceover's like, and then there was one Earth, and then the other Earth showed up again, and everything's fine. And here's Brandon Ralph as Superman, and like, and I that's good to know. But the whole point of Crisis was to like meld it. Like, you should have Titans and Doom Patrol and Swamp Thing and all those and Green Lantern that should all now be on this one Earth, because now the DC/WB has figured it out. Then everything's going to be consistent from now on, and that's what you use an event like this for. Mm-hmm. And but then it was just kind of an afterthought, and they're like, "Oh, everybody's fine, by the way." Like, what was the point of what we just watched?
So that makes me feel like they couldn't have done that, but they decided to do it anyway.
Yeah.
And so because you do that, you take your Arrowverse story and you make it more about the people you got to show up to get all these people to watch your stuff. And then at the end of the day, it's like they're all on the same Earth. Oliver's dead, and we're going to have a spinoff show, which that didn't happen.
Nope.
And Black Lightning's going to be there. He's ending his show. Supergirl's going to be there. And it's like, now a year later, it's like, why did any of that have to happen?
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's a total waste. And like, what I kept saying, you know, through all of this was, man, like, it better be great. Like, you know, they better bring it. Like, after the first trailer, like, you know, the year before at the crossover before when
they just showed the title at the end.
And I was like, oh man, they got a whole year to plan this. They better bring it. And I kept saying it, and they didn't do it.
And what was their big thing? Oliver Queen's gonna die, and we all knew that going in because they told us a year before the show came on.
Yes,
that the guy is dying, and then they killed him in the beginning of it.
In the first episode,
anticlimactic, lame way. Then they bring him back
just to
kill him again, because we weren't expecting him to die twice.
Nope.
And then, like, it's such a big deal. They have the eternal flame of Oliver Queen. And then the next episode, they're fighting Bebo.
Yeah.
It's like, what is going on? So, it the circumstances around the Arrowverse now is why I think Crisis sucks for me now. When I watched it, I was like, okay, whatever. You know, but as this year's gone on, I've just grown not to like it anymore.
Because then you're like, I mean, there's no indication the Flash is going to end anytime soon. I guess Grant Gustin's like, hey, I got a good gig. You know, I'm good. So what's the series finale of the Flash going to be? Flashpoint? Oh, they already did that. Crisis? Oh, they already did that. It's like, what do you do?
I mean, we might have to ask Iris, but I'm sure they'll come up with something.
So
when Grant leaves, Iris is just going to stay. He's just going to be.
That's a show where he could leave and that show could continue because there's plenty of other characters.
Central City Citizen.
We are the Flash. So I stand by that. I did enjoy the Smallville scene. I thought it was a very appropriate end to that Superman. I'm not changing my opinion on that. I feel that everybody's like, we didn't get to see him in the costume. Yeah, I was on record here so many times. They're like, we don't see him in a costume, but we didn't. And I genuinely liked it. Like, I do not Phantom Menace myself. And that term is, I don't know if people are familiar with that term, Phantom. It's like when something comes out and you want to like it so bad that you just like it. And you're like, oh, it was great, wasn't it? Actually, I like the Phantom Menace better than most people. But that's beside the point. The point is, if I don't like something, you guys are going to know about it. You know? But if I do like something, you're also going to know about it. And if it had the Smallville cameo disappointed me, I would have been first one here, you know, yelling about it, but it didn't. And like, I enjoyed it. I saw that and I was like, that's the Clark Kent I watched for 10 years on the show. You know, like that was true to his character. And they gave him the Whatever Happened to Man of Tomorrow ending. And he's on the farm. And he's got the kids and, you know, that's great. And that the only thing I would have added was when the universe got restored, could we get a shot of Tom and Erica and a couple of daughters looking up at the sky, like on the farm or something. Like, that's the one thing I would have added, because we got to see everybody else was okay. You know, just saying.
Yeah, I mean, how many? So Batwoman was a paragon, and now she has in the storyline has gone missing. We don't know. We're going to find out on January 17th. I'll be watching. And then like Supergirl, she was another paragon, right?
Yes.
Yes.
And I guess they're going to find a way to end her show because she's, you know, she's just leaving to do other things. So like, it's just, it seemed to like, it just seemed to mess up the Arrowverse more than it needed to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were doing that to, like, solidify it and say, this is our new direction. Mm. And because of, like, real life stuff, it's like, okay, this is kind of a mess now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, is anybody interested in watching the next crossover? What could it actually be?
Well, I think because, due to the pandemic, this season is going to be different. And I think it's going to be very scaled.
They're going to take it off.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be very scaled back if they do it, you know, in any kind of crossover they do. Which I think honestly they should have done anyway. Like, that would be appropriate because you can't outdo this, at least for now. So you got to scale back. But now down the road, all these big characters are gone.
I'm sure somebody else said this, because this is my assumption. When Stephen Amell announced he was leaving and they were going to do a shortened season, I assumed that season, because like at the end of season 7, that kind of seemed like a series finale.
We're going to get there, y'all.
Yeah, I assumed the entire season of Arrow would be the Crisis on Infinite Earth to flesh that out over 10, 15 episodes where your cameo guests could be like there for an episode. And you got to like explore their stories and then see them finish.
We don't get there, y'all.
Here's so-and-so, they're gone. Here's so-and-so, they're gone. Here's so-and-so, he's here, he's here, he's gone. It's like, we watched that because we wanted to see them. And I know we did, but like, that's not, like, if they wrote an article saying Tom Welland's in for a minute and 35 seconds, would you be like, oh, that's cool, I'll watch. Probably we would have, because we're obsessed with them. But
yeah,
they it just seemed like, instead of making that weird Arrow season 8 that I cannot wait to cover with you, Lance, that should have been the crossover.
I liked Arrow season 8. Do you guys not like Arrow season 8?
Here's my preview take. Arrow ended in season 7. What we got in 8 is this weird epilogue that I'm not exactly sure either like how to classify it or where to exactly put it.
But the Green Arrow should not spend his own season dealing with the monitor. That's not his bag. Like, he shouldn't be dealing with cosmic stuff. You know, like,
yeah.
You have failed this universe.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah, like basically season 8 really isn't Arrow season 8. It's just, you know, Crisis tie-ins.
No, it's like, it's just, we're going to get to Crisis, so we got to do something. Like, he went on, like, fetch quest that meant nothing. And then they had nothing to do when the crossover started. They didn't, like, reference it. Nothing he did helped them out or made it any worse.
It was oddly independent of each other,
And they could have spent that time making him do, like, multiverse stuff. Like, and they did that, you know, but, like, it should have been... It just should have been better, man. They had, like...
I will add this about season 8. Flash forwards are always a bad idea for the show.
Especially
it removes
in the show...
all stakes.
Yeah.
And then if you use it to set up a show that may or may not happen, you look foolish. And here we are. But I do... All that aside, I do stand by. I really do feel like the Arrow series finale was a very satisfying conclusion.
Yeah.
If only for John Diggle becoming Green Lantern. I mean, that was huge.
There are other things in there that helped it stick the landing.
I like it a lot. I mean, that put it over the top for me. That was what I wanted to feel in the Smallville series finale. But anyway, we'll get there, y'all.
Yeah.
As we say. John Diggle. Why is he not Green Lantern in Crisis on Infinite Earths? Right?
That's a great question.
Why is, I cannot believe they wasted John Wesley Shipp as the Earth 90 Flash so much. Like, he's been on The Flash as multiple characters for multiple episodes. Like, he's around. Mm-hmm. Why could he not be on the show? I'm not saying have a season with him on the show, but like a handful of episodes, 3 to 5 episodes where he's there the whole time as himself, been able to take the mask off. That'd be nice. But he's like, he was just blink and you miss him almost in these things. Mm-hmm. When he was set, when the first thing we saw of, of Elseworlds and Crisis, what was him, Earth 90's destroyed. And I'm like, oh, he's going to be an important part of this, but he's not. He just kind of pops in every now and then. And I when he's there, I love it, but it should have been more. Like, I love him and Black Lightning have a moment. That's great.
Yeah.
I didn't realize one of my favorite old shows and my favorite new shows were going to be. Yes. And the Black Knot.
Yeah, so you got the Black Knot.
That was honestly the best part of Crisis.
It's tough because we're fans of this stuff. And maybe we set our expectation too high, but I say they set our expectation too high.
Yeah, no, yeah, I was about to say they did that.
They were the ones hyping it up. Like, this is going to, like, I mean, in okay, we got our DCEU tie-in, but, like, out of all the characters from DCEU, did anybody want to see that character get pulled in?
No.
But he's the only one that makes sense, though. Like, sure, to be
but
fair.
They're already doing things that don't make sense. Like, go, like, I'm saying, go effing bananas. You can do whatever you want here. Yep. And everything they did just seemed weird. Like, you could take archive footage of all these DC properties,
yes,
you have.
Exactly.
And show, like, you could have made this so cool and mm-hmm. interesting, but, like, it's generally an Earth gets destroyed. They talk about it. Then somebody does something to screw up the episode. And then they talk about that.
Yep.
And it's like, they're just talking about what's happening. And no one seems to be, like, seriously reacting to how serious this actually is.
Brandon or Superman was. I give him that. He comes back.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I got to,
like,
say, like,
when he punched the ground because he could not save an Earth, I was like,
yeah,
he actually is fighting.
That's exactly what I thought of when you said that, Kevin. Yeah. He's, yeah. I mean, and that alone, him and Tom Welling, you know, the 2006 internet, you know, is here on the crisis. But they're the best two. I wanted to see them fight. It wasn't, we got to see him fight Tyler Hoechlin, everyone's fifth favorite Superman. Yeah. The new costume is better. It's still not that good. Come at me. You know, it's better than Tom Welling's costume. Okay, you got me. You got
That's
me.
Rude.
I'm going to go cry in the corner now, but for real, though. Yeah.
Also, because it's 2021, I feel like I got to say this. It's okay for me not to like Crisis. We can all still be friends, people. It's okay.
These are fictional characters. These are fictional characters.
It's okay. This is not like, look, like, I still hate terrorists. I don't like Nazis. Like, I'm still a good person. I just didn't like these five episodes of television, okay?
Yeah.
I also love the 2000 hit Bedazzled, and I talk about Hallmark Christmas movies. So you already can tell I have a skewed understanding of what's good and what's not. So just give me a break.
Hey, man. Bedazzled is cinema.
I love that freaking movie. I've watched Bend It Like Beckham probably more times than I'm willing to admit. But.
So I guess ultimately, and I think we're all on the same page here, we appreciate the ambition, right?
Mm.
It was a fun event to be a part of. Like, I mean, recording those breaking news episodes and, you know,
oh,
the
man.
Night of.
I got so much work not done when I saw those feeds come up. Like, oh, snap. Waiting for the Rosenbaum episode, man.
It's recorded. I was just waiting to publish it.
Yep.
Would that have been funny, Lance, if we actually recorded that?
I know, right?
I had the tweet ready, and I had I knew exactly which one I was going to use, too. It was going to be Michael Rosenbaum from the blooper reel, where he's dancing in the plane, you know? You guys know the one. But anyway.
Those are fun days, man.
Yeah. So Rosenbaum not showing up, I'm on the fence about it. Like, he had a lot of family stuff going on, so I'm not going to be like, Rosenbaum, you should have come. I don't know how he would have fit in the framework. I'm like, does he show up with John Cryer? That would not have made sense. So, like, looking at the story they had, I don't know how they would have worked him in. And the scene I never thought I knew I needed and wanted was John Cryer's Lex Luthor, Tom Welling's Clark Kent. That was so great. Because John Cryer is my second favorite Lex Luthor after Michael Rosenbaum. So he's really shot up the list in a very short amount of time. But he's so great in it. And it's so great that he got his own comic, too. We'll talk about shortly. Or was it? Well, but it was a thing. And like most things DC, you got to put a big asterisk on it in your enjoyment level, apparently. And yeah, I think, Kev, you were laying it out right. You're like, what is the state of the Arrowverse now? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Like, half the characters are gone. The shows are different. I
also feel like in 2019, like, when did this air? Did
it
air in 20?
It was December 2019 and then January 2020.
Damn, we started 2020. 2020 kicked off with the last worst episodes of Crisis.
And then a pandemic hit.
They tried to tell us.
No, it just seems like very few things that year lived up to the expectations of what a lot of people wanted. I think the only thing that actually people enjoyed that year was, I think Endgame came out that year. And so
in 19?
I think it did. And so you had like an
18.
18. So we just came off of like.
No. Endgame was 2019.
Yeah.
It was 19? Okay.
So
cool.
You just come off these amazing conclusions to this amazing story that's taken all these years to build up, right? And you're like, oh man, things are good again. And then you got like Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah.
And you're like, you know what I'm saying? So like, I feel like we were really
Crisis
like
is better than that. Am I
yes,
right?
But yeah. like we were really looking for this to be like DC's like look at what we've done type deal, and right. it just kind of didn't
because
do that.
It's, mm-hmm. it's the kind of thing, you know, Lance and I and our friends used to talk about at the lunch table in high school. That's not an exaggeration. That's literally. Like, what if they got Brandon Ralph and he was like Earth 2 and then Tom Welling was Superboy Prime and then, you know, anyway.
Yeah.
Where's well, no, Wonder and, Woman and to your... in the Crisis? Where's Man. Wonder Woman? Linda Carter has been a guest star on your show.
Yeah.
Where is she?
She's in Earth 70.
She's in that golden
76,
armor.
Yeah.
She's in that golden armor fighting off armies of men.
Yep.
Hope she doesn't fight a cat person though, because she'll just tear that apart.
Yeah, it can withstand 300 Spartans, but get shredded away and like dissipate as it falls to the ground. But we're not talking about Wonder Woman 1984.
Yeah,
that episode already happened.
Any other final thoughts then on Crisis before we get into this comic book here?
No, man. No.
No. I think we're good.
So, Crisis on Infinite Earths, Paragons Rising. Let me read to you. The summary on the back of the dust jacket. That's what these are called, right?
Sure.
So
I don't know.
Spinning out of and intertwined with the hit television crossover event, Crisis on Infinite Earths, Paragon Rising, the deluxe edition, tells what happens to fan favorite characters Felicity Smoke and Lex Luthor.
Mm.
Devastated by the death of her beloved husband, Oliver Queen, Felicity Smoke recruits heroes from across the multiverse to find the mysterious Paragons, who she believes are the only chance of resurrecting Oliver. Skipping across universes from Earth-X to the original comics version of Crisis on Infinite Earths to the Green Lantern movie's OA, can Felicity uncover the information she needs to save her husband and the multiverse? Never a man to let an opportunity pass him by, Lex Luthor senses a chance to rid himself of his dreaded Kryptonian foe, Superman. Who cares if the multiverse is crumbling around him? To pull it off, he'll need the brightest, most conniving minds in all of existence, a council of Luthors. But can Lex survive an encounter with himself? So that's the summary.
Okay.
The Lex one is extremely inaccurate, by the way.
Yeah. Well, it's just interesting. You did a reading from something in this book. I have a reading from this as well. So this is from the intro at the beginning of this whole thing, and this is from Mark Guggenheim. This is the last paragraph that he writes in this. Quote, I'm sure there are those on Twitter reading this book who are only too eager to point out inconsistencies beyond those I've enumerated here. To them, I say, come up with your own solutions and explanations and award yourself a no prize. Thank you for your time. Wow, Mark.
Dude, that's like a guy who's just done. Like, I'm done with this.
Yeah.
Like, I talk for you nerds in your podcast. I'm done. I spent 80 hours a week working on this. I'm sorry you didn't like it, Cavante from Nashville. I'm sorry you didn't have a good time watching this free programming.
Look, and we appreciate the time and effort put into this, but this is what we do. All right? We are fans. We are talking about it. It is what it is, and we are here to dissect it. So, you know, just, I mean, we're not going to go blow for blow or anything like that. I mean, that would take way too long to be here all day. But, you know, just some of the Earths that we go through here, we can talk about some of that. Just anything that kind of comes up as we talk about this discussion. We start with Pariah, Nash Wells, Pariah, on Earth N52. So that's the new 52 Earth. We can tell because Superman doesn't have any underwear. And Cyborg is on the Justice League. That's how you can tell.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets erased like a father and daughter try to escape with him, and they get erased. And this starts very similarly to the Crisis on Infinite Earths, where you see Pariah and worlds get erased and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So that makes sense. You know, I just, you know, in the dust cover there, they did say that they travel to the original comics version of Crisis. And that at some point you see Earth 85, and I believe that's the one they're saying it was.
Yeah.
I don't know why would you do that? That makes
I don't know.
That makes sense. Like, this should have been what I thought this was going to be, was fleshing out what we saw on screen. Yes. Like Superman trying to save that Earth and coming back and being upset. Things like that. And then kind of like filling in things that obviously we can't show, like the Green Lanterns or perhaps Wonder Woman. And we see Wonder Woman for a couple of panels.
We sure do.
But it's like you were so close to doing that. Mm-hmm. And then you just chose to tell. That's how you know. And here we go, y'all. That's how you know it's a CW crossover, because the entire story is about Felicity mm-hmm. and Oliver's relationship. Because whenever we have these amazing crossovers, it has to be, well, Oliver didn't tell me he had a son, and Oliver this, and Felicity, well, we're having problems right now. I don't care if you look like Barry Allen. I don't love you. And I'm like, why are we wasting time with this? But that's what they, for whatever reason, which I will never understand, Emily Bett Ricards was not in Arrow season 8, right? Or mm-hmm. The Crisis. So they had to she's, well, the most important character in the Arrowverse, right? So they decide to, I understand why they had to talk about where she is and what she's doing. So that's what they use their comic book for. And that's very unfortunate because in theory, you could see Felicity Smoke on screen doing things. But I mean, I don't understand why she left. I don't even know. Like, I haven't even heard any behind the scenes rumors. She just didn't want to be back for season 8. But that's not what a comic book is for. A comic book is for seeing like Superman and the Green Lantern Corps, like not Felicity, like be angry at the Guardians of the, of the universe on Oa and making them show her the book of whatever and getting the answer she needs to resurrect Oliver. Like, no. I disagree with her being the point of view character, but I understand why she is, because they had to explain what she was doing. And you guys know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, you say you disagree with them making her the focal point, but like, I mean, we've been saying that since Arrow season 3. So, I mean, it's just kind of par for the course at this point.
Yeah. I do think they do capture her voice, mm-hmm. the characters. Like, I can hear Felicity's voice in these captions. But then mm-hmm. we go to Earth F, which I guess is, you know, Fleischer, right? Fleischer cartoons, Superman. Drawn very much like them, by the way. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, like, why do Earths have letters and stuff at all? Like, Earth X was a special thing, right?
They're Infinite Man. There's so many of them, man.
but they're numbers. Like, who... Who is making a catalog and says, all right, these are 1 to 100 and here's like F and N52 and Earth AAA or whatever. So we see the Fleischer Superman and Lois Lane get erased.
Yeah.
Then we go to Earth X, and they actually talk in that intro. You talk about, because there are some notes in here from Guggenheim and, the other one,
the other Berlanti. One.
Berlanti. Yeah. Marv Wolfman as well, who worked on the original Crisis. He participated mm-hmm. in this. And they admit, they're like, hey, I know you saw Earth X get destroyed, but this takes place before that. And that was kind of out of continuity. Because this takes place during the second episode. Like, this mm-hmm. Felicity story, as we're led to understand. So we have the Ray and the Freedom Fighters on Earth X. And this is cool, because you get to see Red Tornado, Black Condor, characters who are associated with those characters, but we didn't get to see.
Yep.
On screen. So that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and Red Tornado, who we only got to see that once. Like, it's like, man.
Well, we actually saw him twice, because we saw on Supergirl season 1, we saw the costume Red Tornado.
Oh, God.
And then we saw the CGI Red Tornado in Crisis on Earth X.
Yeah, I forgot about the Supergirl one.
Yeah, most of us have tried to.
Man.
Oh, Dollman mm-hmm. and Phantom Lady are also here on this Earth. So they're doing mm-hmm. their normal thing. It's like where World War II lasts forever is basically that Earth, you know, and they're fighting the Nazis, you know. But then they take Harbinger comes in, Lila, comes in and saves the Ray, which I never, did you ever watch the animated show, The Ray?
Not yet, but we'll get there, y'all.
Because is Oliver Queen in it?
Yes.
Okay, very good.
We'll get there, y'all.
And he's in the...
Vixen.
He's in the... Oh, what's her name?
Yeah,
Vixen?
Yeah. Vixen. He's in that one, too. Voiced by the actors. So, good. I've never watched those. They're on CW Seed, I believe, so I'll check those out then.
Yes, they are. Season 4 will be one of those.
Very excited for those. But they bring the Ray in, and Wally West is here, which...
Yeah.
Which is great, because I was like, where is Wally West in... The Crisis on Infinite Earths, uh-huh. who's supposed to take the Flash mantle. Did they even mention him on the Crisis itself on screen? I don't recall.
I don't think so.
Because at this point, he left the Flash, and he had been on Legends for a short spurt, but he'd also left there.
Yes. And then, like, he came back in the last season of Flash. He was, like, apparently living in... The story was
he was living in a monastery to the Speed Force
or something like that.
So he was, like, making, like, lotus flowers out of lightning and stuff. It was really... Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll get there.
Speed Force, man.
But the Ray and Nyssa hit it off real well, apparently.
Yes, they do.
Any friend of Oliver Queen is a friend of mine. So that's cool. I forget, is Nyssa in the Crisis?
No, I don't think so.
I didn't think so either, because I was like, to y'all's point, I'm like, in my mind, I'm thinking about Arrow Season 8 and Crisis. It's like the same thing. I'm like, well, she was in that episode there. But yeah, so we're using characters we didn't really see much of. But yeah, Wally West here. I guess it's kind of like with Arsenal, right, on Arrow. Mm-hmm. It's like, I always thought you introduced psychics too soon. But I like what you did with them when they were there. But then because you introduced them too soon, by the time it came time for them to like take over as the hero, they were already gone. As you said, Kev, real world stuff. And that's the thing. When you're dealing with actors and stuff and contracts, like, I get it. But it makes it tough because these are legacy characters.
Yeah. Yes.
And then when the person you're supposed to pass it off to leaves, you're like, oh, well. And then you know, Wally West becomes like a Lucas Luthor from Smallville. Like, where is he? What's he doing? Like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then they kill him off in this.
Yeah.
they just shoot him. Like,
just how casually you just said that, that's how it just happened. It's like, yeah, you know, it, like, you know, yeah. We really like his character. And yeah, they killed him off. So anyway, like, it's, yeah, Wally West is dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is. Now, okay, we got to talk for a second here about the villain in this first thing, right? The person that they're going against.
Yeah, because there's an anti-monitor, therefore there must be an anti-pariah.
Apparently, which I was like, okay, fine, whatever. But then I was completely taken out of this comic book by the bad guy's name, the anti-pariah's name. The anti-pariah's name is Outcast, and it's spelled with a K, just like the group.
Yep.
And I could not take it seriously from that point on, because like I just kept thinking about, you know, I'm sorry, Miss Jackson, because
Southern playlist of the Cadillac fucking
like
music.
It completely took me out of it.
ATL, yeah,
I was just thinking about music the whole time.
because
some of the lines they even say about him are just so funny, because I'm just thinking about Big Boy and Andre.
It's the spelling. If they hadn't made it a K, like we would laugh about it and then move on. But the fact you have to keep looking at it spelled that way.
Because I don't remember. You said it takes place during the second episode. You said that, right?
Yeah.
You lose a major character in your Arrowverse, and no one seems to know or mention it.
There was a lot going on, Kev.
Yeah, I guess so.
And talking about it further, this is something I thought about too. Like, another, like, what did I expect from this? I thought we would get a comic version, like a comic adaptation, if you will, like they do with all the Batman movies and all that, of the CW Crisis on Infinite Earths, and then this stuff will be in there to kind of expand around it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And then they could more easily tie everything together, because it'd be all one book and you'd understand, oh, well, this is the just like they do, like, oh, here's the novelization or things like that. You know, that's what this would be. And that would solve all those things. Then you could incorporate the whole thing, oh, a Wally, and you could have that scene where they mourn him or something like that. But because you have this and you have the show, and they go into detail about, like, look, guys, this was hard. I'm trying to coordinate. And I get it. But, like, if you're going to sell this to me, like, you just give this to me for free. I had to buy this. So it's like, I'm a paying customer, and I have some commentary about how it doesn't match up with what we were watching. And as you said, Wally West is maybe he's not in the grand scheme of things on the Arrowverse, right? After all, he's not a main character.
Clearly.
But in the DC Comics pantheon, he was the Flash for like 30 years. Even just Kid Flash. He was the Flash.
Ragman was back.
Before we get to Wally's dying, though, This is very on brand for Felicity. And I had so many season three Felicity vibes reading this, because she mm-hmm. goes up to the monitor and is like chewing him out and banging on his his armor, you know, like, I gotta save Oliver. So it made me think of when she's going to talk to Ra's al Ghul.
Well, see, here's what thought solidified for me reading this and reading Felicity in here. Felicity is a Karen.
and the monitor is the manager.
Yes. And so are the guardians of Anoa. That's exactly what that situation is.
Oh, man.
Are you saying that, like, are you saying that Felicity is operating under the assumption that no one will, like, throw her into, like, space?
Yeah.
She is operating around super galactic beings and superheroes, mm-hmm. and she is yelling at them.
She's using a superpower that we know in reality.
Well, in her mission, they're supposed to be finding the Paragons, but she's too distracted about trying to resurrect Oliver, which makes me think of season three finale, where Ray Palmer's like, hey, I gotta save the whole city. She's like, but Oliver, you know. But let me read you a direct quote.
Okay.
From the book. The monitor tells Felicity, you mourn your husband. Honor his legacy. See that sacrifice was not in vain. Find Outcast, learn the names of the Paragons.
And as Outcast.
as she walks out the room, she says, F*** you.
Yeah, I'm looking at that panel now.
It's true.
It's a four-letter word.
Yep.
It has the whole asterisk and all that stuff, but that's what she says. So then we go to Earth 76.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yay.
Which I guess someone thought the Wonder Woman show from 1975 started in 76. I guess, because this is, you know, she transforms the same kind of way ish. We see a little bit of that. I would like a little more spinning. It's more running, but I mean, I assume this is Linda Carter's Wonder Woman.
Right? Yeah. Yes.
And she's saving some kids, and she's using her lasso, and looks like she can fly. I don't know if she can fly. I remember the show, she had to have an invisible jet, but, you know, Wonder Woman's flight has never been consistent in any medium, as we know. And that's it. She's in, let's count them. She's in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 panels, and then she's erased from existence.
Yeah.
I mean, but no, at least Ashley Scott got to talk to Dina Meyer on the headset, and, like, you know, but this was like, she doesn't interact with anybody. Hello, this is a comic book. You have unlimited resources to do mm-hmm. anything with this character. I'm not asking you to CGI de-age Linda Carter. I'm just asking you to draw a comic book where perhaps she plays a bigger role. So look, I feel like I'm going real hard on this, but it's just like, you have, the sky's the mm-hmm. limit. Why do you not taking advantage of the fact that you can draw anything? And yet she's blinking and missing. This could have been her. They could have done this in live action as short as it was.
Ridiculous,
you know what I mean?
That we didn't even get a clip of her from her show in the actual show. I mean, we all don't really think they filmed Titans mm-hmm. in Crisis, right? We know they just took a clip from the show.
Yeah.
They made it red. Like, they couldn't do that for, like, all these other characters. It just seems weird. It's like they didn't want to show Wonder Woman existing in the Arrowverse, but it's the multiverse and Wonder Woman exists.
Well, she's just on Smallville. Wondrous Woman threw me for a loop.
Uh-huh.
So
so that was disappointing.
Yeah, they have a lot of restraint in this. And that's the thing, like, this, I understand that the show suffered from a lack of, like, budget. I'm sure when they sat down and said, okay, let's do Crisis, they threw out probably all the best ideas that we couldn't actually see. They wanted to do all these amazing things. They probably called so many people who couldn't do it didn't want to, or all these things. And so that suffered for it, and that's why we consider and say it sucked. Or I consider and say it sucked. But, like, if you're going to make a comic, just like you're saying, this is where you take all those cool, like, it's like when we did the tie-in comics for Arrow, some of those episodes, some of those little books felt like ideas they couldn't bring to television because of budget reason or time restraints. And they were good stories that interlocked in made the seasons better because they brought backstory to things. I should have been seeing Wonder Woman, like, kick the crap out of all these little ghost things flying around to take a punch to kill. And, you know, like, we should have been seeing all the cool things that we weren't able to see in the show because of things like budget and, you know, the effects not being there or the actors not being available. I should have seen, like, Christopher Reeve and, like, Wonder Woman, like, doing all these amazing things, you know?
I absolutely thought we would see CGI Christopher Reeve in some form or fashion. I mean, I know that sounds silly.
I should have seen Henry Cavill in this comic. Like you should have done the whole multiverse.
Oh, you mean the comic? Oh, you mean the comic? Absolutely. I mean the actual show. Like, yeah. I said this before. You know, the Doctor Who 50th anniversary is the only Doctor Who episode I've ever seen. But I can tell that those people did it right because they had all the TARDIS to show up. And for those who don't know, those are the phone booths. I used to get Bill and Ted and Doctor Who confused for that reason. But the phone booths show up and you see every single doctor. He's on a screen or they use some stock footage. I'm like, that is very clever. And I thought for sure, Kev, you're talking about stock footage. They own all the stock footage. Yeah. I understand maybe not using Lois and Clark because it might be standard def or even the Flash 1990. But I take it back because they up-res that footage of Barry Allen and Tina McGee. So they kind of use it. Wonder Woman 70s film. It's film. It's HD. Film, for all you uninitiated out there, the film is higher quality than HD, higher quality than 4K. So that's not an issue. You could just lift the scene of Christopher Reeve or Linda Carter or whatever from, and then put it in. I don't know if you had to sign off on rights for that. I don't know, right? Who knows, right? But to your point, Kev, like, they could have been in here no problem and implied it. Because here, I'm sure they didn't pay Linda Carter for this, but they just imply that, hey, it's Wonder Woman in the 70s, y'all.
That's probably why they used the wrong year.
But the planet, yes, that's probably it. Sue us, Linda Carter. Bring it. That's not going to hold up, Linda. So, Earth D is next. And I didn't know this is actually a thing that Marv Wiffen was talking about it in the Ultimate Edition release here, one of his comments. He was talking about how he wrote like a Crisis issue 4.5 or something at some point in like the 80s or 90s, and it took place on Earth Diversity, and the idea was like, hey, the heroes are different genders and races, and that's cool, but we see them for about
a hot second.
Two panels, and it's the Barack Obama Superman, and the Justice Alliance is what they're called.
Yeah, Justice Alliance.
And the thing is, we see them fighting side by side, the Arrowverse people. So, like, I want to see them interact. Like, I want to see, hi, I'm Batwoman from whatever, and you're Batman from wherever. But they're not interested in that. They're just showing us splash pages.
Well, even Felicity comments on how, like, apparently each of these places have a Flash, and she mentions how, like, the Flashes are fighting together, and it's just like we don't get to see the Flashes talk to each other. You know, it's a missed opportunity.
But we do get to see Outcast vaporize Wally West, because Wally says, run, Barry, run. Because sure that's does. What you say. He's aiming right at, and he's dead.
Yeah. And I love how Barry charges at him in his rage and says, quote, Outcast, this is your fault.
This is all your fault.
The first time I wore a fedora in high school, I also said that. Outcast, this is your fault.
Oh,
like
man.
Oh, man. Hey, he don't mess around.
People just like, because we love what he's talking about.
Now, I do it. So Lila shows up and stops Nash from, I guess Nash gets Outcast. And Lila says, the monitor has constructed a special chamber designed to contain any of the anti-monitor's foot soldiers. So, but he wanted to be caught, because that's a clever villain plot. And he is a living antimatter bomb, and he blows up.
But not before saying the best line of this whole thing. No, nothing you can do can stop Outcast.
1, 2, 3, My baby don't mess around because she loves me so, and this I know for sure.
You know, they come back and there's more Felicity, and she found the book of the book of Ra'al is what I think of when I see that.
Yeah.
She's going to use her little interdimensional thing to go to Oa, and Nyssa and the Ray are going to follow her. And this is where they go to Earth 85, the dawn of time. And this is what I believe is what they refer to as, they even visit the original comic book Crisis on Infinite.
Yeah.
And I guess that's it. We see Martian Manhunter and Captain Marvel. And Alexander Luther from Earth 3, and
Power
all
Girl
kinds
too.
Power Girl. There's no boob window on Power Girl, though. I don't know if you guys noticed that. But
yeah. And then she meets the Phantom Stranger. I'm just like, what? And like, she seems to like know who he is. It's like, where did this come from?
And then Nyssa and the Ray are still following her.
Yeah.
And Phantom Stranger takes her to Earth 12. Now, on the dust jacket, they say this is the Oa from the movie. So Earth 12 is the Green Lantern movie. Now, they did use stock footage from that.
Yeah, they did.
Not of Ryan Reynolds. Perhaps they couldn't come to a deal with him. But come on, Blake Lively got her start on the WB. Give us a break.
I know.
But hey, we'll see him in the Snyder Cut, right?
We'll see.
Oh, man. I can't wait.
Oh, please don't suck. I can't take anything else sucking.
Well, we're not done with this yet, Kev. So, now, man. Earth 12, it's my understanding, Lance, you are a bigger comic historian than I am. Isn't there only one Oa?
Yeah.
It was my understanding that there's just, that's like the one constant of the multiverse is Oa.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And yet this thing says Earth 12.
Yeah.
Like, well, that's not
because
accurate.
Oa's, like, what makes Oa kind of special is that it's kind of like outside of time and space. And why the Guardians are the Guardians.
So Felicity's here and she needs to go. She's, of course, Felicity Smoke addressing the Guardians of the Universe.
She's going full Karen, man.
No, absolutely. This two-panel exchange is full Karen. Because she's speaking to the manager, and the manager says, for the sake of your sanity and thus your life, our answer must be no to her request to look at the book. And she says, what? You can't do that. You have to help me bring back Oliver. Please help me. And she's crying and screaming at the same time. And again, I think of when she's, you know, talking to Ra's al Ghul, disrespecting him, disrespecting the Anti-Monitor, disrespecting the Guardians of the Universe.
Yeah.
But Ganthet flies in and he's a big fan of Felicity Smoke and he helps her out.
Yeah. It's like, cool.
Kev, did you ever think when you were watching Arrow back in the day that one day this woman would be yelling at the Guardians of the Universe?
Man, it sucks because, like, I really liked her character, and they just keep doing things. And
we all did.
I'm trying to find a way to, like, approach this, not just be like just hating her because it's fun to do. I'm trying to put, like, she is from a world where the unexplained suddenly started happening around her. Right, she meets Barry Allen, and like she gets to experience all these things. She realizes there's a multiverse, and she is not like losing her brain. Like, oh my God, all these things are going on. Like, she's looking at, like, these intergalactic beings, the Guardians of the Universe, and she doesn't have, like, the understanding to be like, this is insane. She still has the same, she talks to them like she talks to anyone, and that doesn't mean that she's strong. It just means she's kind of annoying. Like, there's a proper way to get these she can't do anything to make them do anything. So you have to understand that when you're talking to people. It's like looking at my boss. It, like, when I want a raise, I don't just walk in his office and, like, give me a raise. You will give me a raise. I have to, like, come at him. Like, hey, listen, this is what I've been doing well. This is why I think I deserve it. Like, you can't just look at the Guardians of the Universe and be like, do this. And, like, we're for the sake of your sanity, no. And then she's like, well, I don't care about that.
Yeah.
And to your point, have they used that? Like, she behaves this way and they're like, hey, you're doing this wrong. You're going about this all wrong. But she always gets rewarded for this behavior.
Even if she's showing up like, hey, I need you to help. And they're like, no. And she gets frustrated without the conversation to a point where she's yelling at the Guardians of the Universe. Like, you know, I care about Oliver more than anything. That's fine. I'll yell at a stranger who's more stronger than me over my wife. But like I don't want to go into that conversation. You know what I'm saying? It's like, look, it's like Henry Cavill's across the room.
Right.
And he offended my wife. I'm going to talk about, listen, Mr. Cavill, I think what you said kind of offended. I'm going to be like, hey, giant man, don't talk to my wife. Like, no. He's going to fold me up. And we're the same size. He's going to fold me up still and put me in his pocket.
We have been dunking pretty hard on this so far. I do want to give her credit for the Green Lantern Corps does show up.
Mm-hmm.
And we see it's Sinestro and Tomar Rae and Kilowog, and they're from the Green Lantern movie.
Yeah.
You can tell by the way the suit is, you know, it's the glowing with the grid and all that. There's no Hal Jordan. couldn't pay those Ryan Reynolds comics or stock footage rights, apparently. But I like that. That is, okay, this tied directly into something else we had seen, and I wanted to see more of things like this. So I want to give it credit for doing that here.
I was trying to see. I thought I remember seeing something about them saying this takes place before the Green Lantern movie.
Well, yeah, I think it clearly does because, I mean, obviously there's no Hal anywhere and Sinestro's is playful and he's counting how many people he's getting with Kilowog.
We have a Gimli Legolas vibe from
yes.
Kilowog and Sinestro. That only counts as one.
Mm-hmm.
And that was cool. Like, just do more of that. Like, show us the comic book stuff we want to mm-hmm. see. This is a comic book. Show us comic stuff.
This is literally
stuff.
The comic book. Look, I'm asking yep. you to look, show me this in a comic book.
We all have a soft spot in our heart for CW drama. That's why we watch CW drama. So I don't mind seeing some panels by people arguing about people they love. That's fine.
Yes.
But yo, this needs to be balls to the wall action.
Yeah.
Like, this needs to be like insane banana sandwich mm-hmm. everything.
And interactions between characters that we aren't going to see otherwise. Let me see Linda Carter's One Woman talk to somebody because we're not going to see that on screen.
You
will in
Wonder Woman 3.
Yeah.
You're going to see that in Wonder Woman 3.
We shall see. Maybe she'll talk to Michael Keaton.
Likely.
So she looks at the forbidden book she's not supposed to look at, and it's going to melt your mind because you're a mere mortal, but because she's Felicity Smoke, she can do it and she's fine. Gantha mm-hmm. does have to save her. We see some pictures of like the future, the past, old friends long gone. Oliver's in there, but he's not really. It's like a trick to suck her into time.
Yeah,
apparently. And Ganthet helps her out,
which is interesting. It's kind of like a undoing of in Justice League how like the Lanterns is like, you know, you're not supposed to see, you know, humans aren't supposed to see certain things, including the beginning of the universe.
Right.
And they're not supposed to see the stuff that's in here as well.
Well, no, it's exactly what I thought, like the hand and the time and all yeah. that. I was like, this is what that is. And that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then she finds out, you know, the information that we find out that the monitor's like, Felicity Smoke has procured this information. This is where she gets it. Yeah. So at least that ties into what we saw on screen. And it's the hints that she has to the Paragons. And then she also finds out what's going to happen to Oliver because she's seeing like all of time simultaneously and all that. So,
mm-hmm.
But then she kind of tells off Ganthet as well. Because yep. that's what she does. Cause she's going to go find Barry. She does have a moment of self-reflection, which is, Wally, I'm such an insensitive dolt, because she realizes yep. she's, you know, talking to Barry about, you know, Oliver being gone. And he's like, I mean, Oliver and Wally losing them both. So we have yeah. that, at least. There's your moment of reflection Something. For Kid Flash. But then Felicity's on the ship with Mia and she walks by and then she hides because she doesn't want to see her daughter.
Yeah.
Because we have to maintain the continuity. They don't see each other until the series finale of Arrow, you know, so
uh-huh.
That's fine. I'm all for like, oh, they were really over there the whole time. Like that's what we do in comic books and sci-fi. Like that's fine. That's cool. But then she goes to that platform in the Netherland where the monitor hangs yes. out with Lex Luthor and Oliver and tells him that the
Paragons,
the hints. It's like, mm-hmm. let's see, four of the seven. Kara Supergirl is the Paragon of Hope. Sarah Lance is the Paragon of Destiny. And then the other two, one's the Bat of the Future, not Terry McGinnis, apparently. Yep. And the other is a Kryptonian. So there you go. But she doesn't tell him about Oliver because she knows something the monitor doesn't. She knows that he, quote, to do this, he had to become someone else. He had to become something else. The Spectre.
Yep.
And, you know, I applaud the tying in with the thing that he says. But mm-hmm. the series finale where Diggle says it is much better and much more like true the heart of the show. He's yes. like, in the series finale, he's like, you know, Oliver told me he had to become something else, but now I realize that was becoming a better man. I was like, see, yes. that is the grounded reality that not only was Arrow launched with, but that we all connect with on a personal level. Instead of, you have failed this universe.
Oh, man.
That's the thing.
Like, get there, y'all.
I'm trying to save all my stuff for like the actual pop. But by the time yeah, season 8 comes out,
I don't
like,
want,
it's going
to
be...
want y'all to become me when I spoil my series finale every
no, it's,
5
it's
minutes.
Just... But, is it unfair to compare this to Marvel? Because we kind of felt like, I mean, everyone kind of saw the similarities in the Crisis.
Well, even splitting it like that, like Endgame and Infinity War before it, I mean, mm-hmm. three parts yeah. of the two and all that. Oh, and everybody's erased at the end of part three and all that.
Yep.
Yeah, it's totally the same. Fair
no,
comparison.
It's fair to do it. Like it's fair to do it because it's an apt comparison to make.
Yeah, it seems strange that like Arrow, you know, Oliver Queen is the grounded superhero amongst all these superpowered beings, and you know, all the teams are way too big. And there's too many heroes in this, but you, like, when Iron Man does the snap, one of the reasons that it's so powerful is because he's a man doing this.
Yes.
Like, he is taking on something that should be able to beat him, and by sure will, he is destroying one of the greatest threats this universe has ever mm-hmm. seen. And he has a cool line, "I am Iron Man," because it's full circle, you know.
And he's responding, he's like, "I am inevitable, and I am Iron Man." Like, yeah, it works no, so well, yeah.
Yep.
And also, that's why it, I was in, you know, that's why I was emotional.
Well, yeah, and it also pays off, like, you know, in the first Avengers movie when Steve is challenging him, he's like, "You're not the guy that's going to make the sacrifice play." And it's just like, and well, yes, he is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it was a part of his character arc to do that.
And Steve is the one that's going to go back in time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go with his girlfriend. Screw you, timeline. I don't care about that. That's my man. It's America's ass.
That's America's ass.
Oh, it's America something else too.
So you slip some pictures on the internet. Anyway. No, so like that wasn't like Oliver sees, and that's the thing, like Iron Man's character, that was, they drop hints throughout even his three movies that were all grounded in the Avengers, which took him out of that element. And then he had repercussions of realizing that Iron Man 3 was all about his like PTSD of realizing that he is not the greatest thing in the universe like he thought he was. There are things out, you know. So him dying in that manner, in that way, was a part of his character arc, which was satisfying. The reason Oliver died was because he quit the show.
Yeah.
Like, that, like Arrow Season 1, the character arc wasn't him dying as the Spectre defeating the Anti-Monitor. They just did it on the fly, and it just comes off as that. Like, it doesn't mm-hmm. feel... Like the Anti-Monitor is what kills Oliver. Not like any of the characters he's dealt with throughout his career. Like, it just seems weird.
Yeah.
Like, I could not take myself, I couldn't stay in the episode because I knew the outside stuff. You know, like if they didn't announce Stephen Amell was leaving or something, like it would have been like, oh, that's mm-hmm. like, it's just we all knew he was leaving. But they could still do that well because, like, do we all know Iron Man was going to die in Avengers? We knew he was, but they still were able to make it impactful. I don't know, man. It's just,
yeah,
they screwed up my character, man. I love Oliver Queen. They messed him up, man. Honestly, I think that's where all my frustration comes with this.
Yeah,
I know. With Crisis, because like everything else happened, whatever. You took Oliver Queen and made him yell, "You have felt this universe," and create a perfectly balanced universe, but didn't bring back the woman he was in love with. Brought back some other version of her because you needed a spinoff that didn't get greenlit. And they ruined it. They made him drink milk, blue milk, out of some weird alien, and he threw his lightsaber over his shoulder. That's what they did to Oliver Queen.
Kev, I mean, thank you for going there so I didn't have to, but maybe one day, you'll get a cool hallway scene
we
with Oliver. No, there's
we
plenty
did.
Of cool,
we did the
there's plenty
we
of
did
cool
a
hallway
cool
scenes.
Scene
yeah,
Oliver.
In the series finale, God bless them, they
it was the
did
best
it.
Thing ever.
Let's talk about the Lex Luthor story. I was excited for this because I love John Cryer's Lex Luthor, and I thought, oh, that's cool. Council of Lexus. Surely I'm going to get somewhere in here. I'm going to see a guy in a white suit and a black glove.
Nope.
And they don't even do that. Like, how
not
can
gonna
you
be able to do it?
How can you do this? How can you be on the council and not be a master? This is outrageous.
This is outrageous.
It's unfair. So we start out on Earth 1938, and I'm like, oh, I guess this is supposed to be like the original Superman comic universe.
Yeah.
Why is there a 19 here? We've been doing numbers.
Well, it's
the whole time.
Well, that is a number. It's the 1938th Earth.
Well, why didn't they make it 938? Because what did they make Smallville's Earth?
167.
And that was because of what? 1967.
Al Goff and Miles Millar were born in 1967.
Okay.
It's the same way that Batman 66 was Earth 166. Oh, no, wait, it was Earth 66.
Yeah.
I think they should have made Smallville number 11 because it ended in 2011.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because Birds of Prey was 203. So that was. Anyway, we're not going to. I just. 167, and I appreciate the nod to the creators of the show with who without Smallville would not be what it was.
Mm-hmm.
But 167 just seems really, really high up. It's like a relief pitcher, number 80. I'm like, well, this guy's worthless. Like, anyway, so we see the prison Lex, the original Lex Luthor breaking out of prison. he vaporizes some guy, and then some other guy vaporizes him. So I guess he didn't get to join the Council of the Luthers.
Guess so.
Yeah.
And then John Cryer Lex is playing chess with Lila, who insists on being called Harbinger. Mm-hmm. Which, hey, they set it up. I asked for show me the receipts. They showed me the receipts. So
we had a tie-in comic.
Yeah.
But then who I can only imagine is Gene Hackman's Lex Luthor shows up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, like, okay. I mean, I think he'd be wearing a toupee because that was kind of his thing. But he's wearing, you know, the flower lapel, like from the climax Superman the movie. That's Taskmaster, that outfit.
Yeah.
He's pretty much wearing that.
And an ascot too, right?
Yes. A bad outfit, as one might say.
Mm-hmm.
And then he comes and picks up John Cryer, and they show up in this room. And I'm looking around, and I don't see President Lex Luthor here, and I'm very disappointed.
Yep.
I see. Okay, here's the thing, right? There is the gold suit Lex Luthor, and that's the guy from Earth 3 who was a hero.
Correct.
Versus the Justice, Justice Lords, the Crime Syndicate.
Crime Syndicate.
That's a problem, right? He shouldn't be there. We see Lex Luthor 2, the clone from Death of Superman from Australia. We see the Lex Luthor that stole the 50 cakes. Everybody knows that one in his purple collared shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And we see Battlesuit Lex Luthor. We see some other ones with hair. I can headcanon that one of them is John Shea. if he has hair, I don't know, right? So this, bottom line, there's really not much to this one. Honestly, this was like the B story, right? And then Felicity was the A story. Because
basically,
obviously, Felicity Smoke, much more important character than Lex Luthor. So, you know, what are you going to do? But, I don't know. What did y'all think of this story? Like, basically, it's like all the Lexes come together. And then Lex, like, Cryer Lex helps Superman and all the Supermen come together. Again, none of the ones that we recognize, by the way. No, you know, I don't see Christopher Reeve or Dean Cain or anybody in here. And then they fight, and then all the Lexes retreat, and then Superman's confused that he's on the wrong Earth, because that Earth 38 already got destroyed. By the way, they make it a plot point in there. Kingdom Come Superman I did see, so that's cool. Fleischer Superman, but we saw him get destroyed, so I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
Kingdom Come Superman, though, wasn't Brandon Routh okay?
Basically, you asked what I thought,
yeah.
And what we thought. This is just kind of whatever, right? It's just kind of like it's just kind of nonsense and just kind of whatever. That's kind of basically what I got from this. I guess they were going for like, oh, this is a fun little story here, but it's just kind of like after reading the Felicity thing, this one is way more disconnected from everything else we got to see in Crisis and everything that the shows were doing that it just kind of takes you out of it. It's just like, well, what's the point of this one?
And made me appreciate the Felicity one more, ironically, the Lex Luthor one, right? So, Kev, what are your thoughts?
I, as much as I have angrily yelled about this entire comic and the whole series, the Felicity one is actually, because I mean, like, it just things kind of happen. This is, it's just like, as I'm reading it, I'm like, okay, I don't, as a non-comic book reader, I don't recognize any of these other characters. Like, you guys was like, oh, what's that guy? Like, mm-hmm. I'm like, it's just a Superman with that kind of logo. And this is just a Superman with that kind of hair. I'm like, okay, and that's what's wearing, you know. So it was just like, yeah, oh, this will be really cool. And we got to fill the rest of this story out. So let's basically do this. And once again, you have the ability to do whatever you want in your Crisis on Infinite Earth tie-in comic. And you choose to do a bunch of Lex Luthers, none of them who we recognize or even want to see, versus a bunch of Superman that we don't recognize, except for Kingdom Come, who apparently isn't the one you made in the comic show.
Yeah.
The one everyone liked. So it's like, this should have been
Electric Superman is in here, y'all. Electric Superman.
This should have been Kingdom Come, because like they did spend a lot of time on Kingdom Come Superman in the Crisis. It's one of the best parts about it. This should have been his adventures of going to those different Earths, in you know, fighting as much as he could,
or his story.
That would have been cool to hear.
Let's see the Joker, the reject from Gotham, because we can't say Joker.
Let's see the Joker
kill everyone at the Daily Planet.
Why not? That's what I'm saying. Like. It's like you can't say Joker, but like you can have like Ezra Miller, and you know, like you couldn't say Batman forever, but now you have Batwoman. Like you couldn't even say Gotham. It's just like,
yeah.
Let's see some Batman in this.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see Earth 89. Let's see Earth 95, Earth 66. The comic rights for Batman 66 have been settled. Right? Yep. I mean, there is a comic book for that. So you could just do that. Let's see the end of Earth 66 and Adam West Batman. And I don't know. Like, I don't be too hard on this for what it's not, I guess, because that's really easy to do. But what they gave us was lacking, and there's so many obvious other things. We don't know the legal reasons why they couldn't do stuff. I don't know. But I mean, you said it best, Kev. There's a lot of Lexes and Supermen here that we don't even know or care about. Quality over quantity. Give me three or four Supermen I know and Lex Luthers I know and have them interact on a smaller scale. Then give me like 1,000 that I'm like, oh.
Yeah, well, you know, okay. Why would you not use a Lex Luthor that looks like Rosenbaum here? Because...
Just draw a guy in a white suit and a black glove. That's all I need.
We could have got Tom Welling in a Superman suit in this. You know, saying that. He could have been here.
They could have done it. Yeah, they could have said this was in between the years, or whatever.
It could have been
right?
the same suit that he wore in the
comics. They could use the season 11 suit.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's like, distinguishable enough.
That's clearly him. That's great. So fans who were disappointed about, like, that's the thing, like, you weren't gonna be able to please everyone with the episodes. Like, you just weren't. So, like, this is your chance to do that. You know, you were talking about the hallway scene with Luke Skywalker. Like, giving your fans what they want is somehow seen, like, as a bad thing now. You know, it's like, oh, we want to subvert their expectations. We don't want to give them what they want. We want them to like what we give them. And that's a problem. Like, it's okay to not like what you're given. Like, you can, like, yeah. Don't think we have to just say, because we got it, that's all we know. It's okay for you to be like, you know, I didn't really like that. So, like, that's okay. Yeah. Let's leave that last decade. This new decade, it's okay not to like things that were given to you.
Yeah. I think we've kind of shown that with some things in real life.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it's just like, they had an opportunity. This is why hype is scary, and this is why hype can blow up in your face. None of us walked into this saying... Nah, we walked in here like, I cannot wait for this epic crossover, because they kept saying the epic crossover event. We're going to do everything you can imagine. And you see all these YouTubers make their own custom versions of it. And you're like, I can't wait to see what they do, because it's going to be better than YouTube, clearly, because these are the professionals doing it. And then you watch it, and it's like, oh, come on, man.
Yeah, and not only that, it's the fact, like, you know, like, it wasn't just, like, the announcements and stuff like that, but, like, they had set the bar so high with all the other crossovers, because all the crossovers have been enjoyable.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, at the end of Elseworlds, they teased the dude with the gold mask. I had no idea who he was, and
Psycho Pirate?
Do we even see
Psycho
him?
Psycho Pirate.
Was he even in Crisis on Infinite Earths? Isn't he, like, a pivotal point of that
story? He's the only person who remembers that the multiverse.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, in the comics.
Oh, wow.
So, final word, though, we're talking overall as we wrap up here. Final word on the Lex Luthor one. It ends exactly how it starts, and that's, like, but not in a cool bookend way. Like, it's like, everything in between here didn't matter, because we're back in the cell playing chess with Lila. Mm. Yeah. And that's it. And... Yeah, I mean, Lex Luthor and Superman, shocking, I know, from the guy who does the Smallville podcast. They're like two of my favorite fictional characters of all time. And this, I should have loved this, and it was just disposable. This is, you know, here's what it is. This is the kind of comic you get on Free Comic Book Day.
Yeah.
This is what this is.
That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah.
And I had not read, I waited a year to read this stuff. Like, I didn't read this until, you know, leading up to us doing this podcast, knowing that the anniversary is coming up. So it's not like I was building up my expectation forever, but I didn't even really watch and read or anything about what people thought of this, you know, the comic, because I want to go into it fresh, you know? I guess it shouldn't be a surprise that not many people were talking about this comic. That should be my first sign that that it didn't really live up to anything. Because I was thinking they would take advantage of the comic format, of being everything we've been seeing here, that the sky's the limit, you can do anything you want to do, and they just didn't do it. And I felt like, I don't know, maybe... I don't know. Crisis kind of come and gone at this point, as far as CW is concerned. But it's like down the road, I would for all our criticisms of this, I would love to see them adapt their version of Crisis, incorporate this spinoff, put it together an expanded version, and then just throw in some other stuff, like, you know, the other Superman or one more, you know, those the kind of things you're talking about. And I'd be first in line to buy it, like, you know, Ultimate Edition of that.
I wish that. the characters, like, the cameos got us excited, but really the story is about the characters we've been watching for a couple years now. Like, I wish,
yes,
I wish
exactly.
they did more in this. I don't remember much of them doing anything throughout this crossover. Like, I got, like, I'm like, okay, if he's asking me, what did Supergirl do? I don't remember what she did.
She hyped up Superman, gave him a pep talk.
Yes,
she did.
And then I know Batwoman pushed Kevin Conroy up in. I don't remember what the Flash did. I don't remember what Barry Allen did.
John Wesley Shipp had a good out as the Flash.
Like,
I'll give him that.
Like he did.
The main characters
of
your Arrowverse.
That's what happens to the Flash.
But the main characters in your Arrowverse are not memorable at all in the Crisis on Infinite Earths. But like the thing we talk about the most leaving is like Kingdom Come Superman, Kevin Conroy. You know, and I guess that was the point maybe, but like this is supposed to be about
maybe
your characters you've been building up for years.
You got to find a way to do both,
yeah.
Right? And as you know, talking about fan service and Star Wars and all that, I feel like The Mandalorian season 2 did it perfectly. So I'm so glad that exists because that proves me. Because people will tell us, they'll say, "Well, you know, you're just asking for the impossible. You can't have both." I'm like, "Well, they did it just fine because Luke Skywalker shows up, and it's an amazing moment. It's a top 5 Star Wars moment of all time. Saves the day. Does what heroes do, right? Because it's impossible odds. But you're not thinking about Luke there. You're thinking about the Dark Troopers. You're thinking about Baby Yoda and Mandalorian, you know. And even though Luke Skywalker shows up and has one of the most amazing Star Wars scenes ever, you still get the emotional moment between Grogu and Din Djarin, right?
Yeah.
And that goodbye. And like, and hey, guess what? You got both in the same 40-minute episode, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can do all this spectacle and all this cool, quote-unquote, fan service-y stuff and then stay true to the characters you've been on this journey with the whole time. And look, I know it's ambitious. I know it's stuff. They had 5 episodes and all these casts and characters, but you know what? They built it up for over a year.
They did.
And it doesn't seem like they were working on it for that long.
They're working on it for like 2 weeks.
No, it kind of feels like that because, you know, it's like they didn't announce Lucifer being in the crossover. That was a surprise. And like, honestly, they shouldn't have announced anything. They should have Christ Life and Earth. And then we would have been watching like, oh my God, oh, they got, oh my Tom. Like that would have been so much better because when you tell us Tom Welling's coming back, we're like, Superman's gonna be next to Superman. And you're like, oh, we got Kevin Conroy. Oh my God, Batman's gonna be in. He's gonna. And it's like, no, we're gonna have them there for a scene. And like, that's all we can do. Well, like, you know, don't tell us that bit. Like, just.
Yeah. It's a double-edged sword, right? Because they want to hype people up to be interested, but then they don't want to give everything away. But that's the problem. Like, it's Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Yeah.
You don't have to hype anything up. Like,
and
we,
also,
we know what that
episodes,
is.
And you took like a month break. Like, word of mouth would have got out there. The first episode, you would have ended it with a big surprise cameo. Everyone would have been watching the second and third and fourth and fifth episode.
Stay tuned to see who might pop up. You never
yeah,
know.
You know, like,
right? And
it would have been great. But it like, unfortunately, yeah.
The Bat of the Future. Oh my God, we're gonna see Terry McGinnis. I can't wait.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's
Earth 99. Batman Beyond debuted what year, my friends? 1999.
Oh my God, we're old.
We are.
Anyway, any final thoughts, Lance?
No, just I mean, I'm just echoing what you guys have said. I mean, it's, you know, this book kind of took the same momentum that the on-screen product took, right? It's like it just turned out to be a disappointment. I thought, you know, this would be a comic book tie-in that would flesh out some things that we didn't get to see in the show, and it was not that at all. It was just, you know, like some nonsense with the Lex Luthor and Superman stuff and stuff we've already seen with Felicity being a Karen. So, you know, it's disappointing, but
you know, I feel like a lot of listeners on our show here are going to be fine with you saying that, but good luck over there.
That's why I'm laughing. Because I know there are going to be some diehard, like Felicity, no Felicity fan. And like, and the thing is right now,
it's coming.
And where we are in our podcast, we're on board with them. And they're like, yeah, I found 2 dudes who get this character. And then you're going to watch us slowly devolve. And it's going to suck. It's going to suck. It hurts us too. Like, I wanted this to be awesome.
Here's the thing, y'all. As much fun, and look, and we have a good time tearing into the stuff that we love. No, you know, we do. But we don't want it to suck.
That's correct.
That might sound like you're like, oh, I don't know, you guys enjoy this too much. Look, we're making the most out of a bad situation. All right.
Yes.
That's what this is, because you know you got to laugh at this stuff or you're gonna cry.
Yeah.
Those are your two mm-hmm. options. Mm-hmm. So I mean, that's where you are.
And if you want to hear us cry for an hour and a half, I mean, we could probably make that happen too if you just really want to be
sad.
We
can do that.
Yeah.
We'll talk about The Last Jedi sometime. Anyway, well, this has been fun. I'm glad that we were able to work through our feelings here. Hey, if you were fans of this comic book, good for you. That's the other thing I want to reiterate. Yeah. If you guys like something we don't, that's totally cool.
Love it.
No one is right or wrong.
Nah.
These are fictional characters, to quote Ben Affleck from that meme, which I'm not sure where it came from. I'm sure it's a Kevin Smith movie.
Yeah.
But these are fictional characters. So there's no right or wrong here. We're just having a good time talking about it. These happen to be our opinions. We are but three voices in the multitude of the multiverse here.
Yeah. There was another podcast out there loving this right now.
Likely.
Yeah, and good for them. Good for them. But the thing is, look, this is entertainment, and we are being entertained by having fun talking about how much we didn't like it in this particular context.
Yeah.
If you liked it, great. If you didn't like it, great. We're all just here to have a good time with this in this crazy world we're living in. Let's exist in this space and have some fun back and forth about these things that ultimately don't matter.
Yes.
Okay? Yeah.
So. And the fun thing about crossover talk is that this season we get to start our crossovers, and I'm excited to talk about the first couple crossovers because they were really good.
I'm really excited to revisit those.
So yeah, you guys, it's funny we're talking about the comic book. You guys are in between Arrow episodes here. You talked about volume one of the comics of Arrow. You're going to talk about volume two in your next episode coming up. Apparently there's an Arrow series of novels, which I was unaware of.
Yes, there are three novels.
And you're covering the first one next? Is
Arrow,
that correct?
Vengeance.
Okay.
And I cannot wait to tell you about the first big thing that's revealed.
Oh, man.
About that book. You're going to love it.
You in particular.
Oh, boy. I cannot wait to hear this now. All right. Well, we've been talking about it a lot, but if you want to find you out there, obviously you're both on Always On to Arrow. Do Not Fail Our Pod on Twitter and on UFP Earth. But personally, where can people find you guys out there?
You can find me on Twitter at Chillus, CHILL_US. That's where I'm at now. I deleted my Facebook last year. I'm happier for it.
That's right. Kev is still friends with all of us. He's just not on Facebook anymore. Your life will be better for it.
I am already happier.
So. What about you, Lance?
They can find me at Sir Lance Laster on all of my social medias. And then you could also find me weekly on Nerd Party News. We're part of the Nerd Party Network. You can find us at Join Nerd Party on Twitter.
All right, as for me on Twitter, Moron Zach, MOORENZACH. I'm also a host of another podcast, Franchise Fatigue, over on the UFP Network as well. So you can find us on UFP Earth on Twitter. As for the podcast here, Always Smallville with 1S on Twitter, Always On to Smallville on Facebook. And you can send us an email at alwaysmallville@gmail.com, once again with 1S. All right, well, we'll be back to our Season 6 coverage next week talking about Labyrinth. But until then, always hold on to Smallville. Always Hold on to Smallville is brought to you by listeners like you. Chris Fuchs, Cafonte Chillis, Dallas Hernandez, Casey Cochran, Derek Kirsch, Lex Ledger, Joy Deedberg, JJ Hodges, DJ Duena, Jason Skipper, Mateo Jarrell Santiago, Nathan McKenzie, Tim Miller, Joe Mikindo, Steve Rogers, John Curcio, Atif Sheik, Molly Ficarilla, Trayvon Brady, Mike Franz, Dylan D'Antonio, Mariana Sachi, Rachel Miller, Andrew Parker, James Lee, Jonathan England, Adam Sullins, Joe Michael, Nathan Rothatcher, Zachary Burkhalter, Corey Moore, James Bandini II, Nick Ryan Magdoza, Eddie Bissell, Jim Thomas, Nicholas Fansler, Catherine Caldwell, Will Hunt, Clunk Kant, Patricia Carrillo, Tom Gerke, Nicholas Coso, Jared Gibbs, Erica Flynn, Anthony Anderson, Jasmine Magelli, Keith Falls, and Jay Packett. Thank you so much to all these patrons, and you too can become a patron by going to patreon.com/alwaysmallville with 1S. Hope to see you there. Alrighty, as for me, more on Zach on Twitter with 1O. No, what the f*** am I talking about? Excuse me. Sorry.